Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we
the authentically
die.
Entertaining conversation that matters.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
I'm Mark Legere, and now, your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to tonight's show. We have with us Christina Bant Jenkins, who is a model, an athlete, a photographer, and a mother of an autistic child. And we have also our musical guest. She's a singer, songwriter, and she's Tem Scott. They'll be joining us in the studio in just a moment. And I wanted to share with you that this Friday, for some of you who don't know, was Groundhog's Day in America and in Canada. And if you don't know what that is, it's mainly celebrated in the United States and Canada on February 2nd, which was this Friday. It derives from the Pennsylvania Dutch superstition that if a groundhog emerging from its burrow on that day sees a shadow due to clear weather, it will retreat to its den and winter will persist for 6 more weeks. And if he does not, due to cloudiness, spring season will arrive early. And that happens on February 2nd. And that happened this Friday. I actually don't know whether the groundhog saw its shadow or not. But it's interesting that something amazing happened to me on Friday, and I did not put two and two together until I was talking with a friend just this morning, sharing about this experience on Friday. And this friend said, boy, that reminds me of Groundhog's Day. Now, he's referring to the movie, which takes place on Groundhog's Day. Bill Murray plays a reporter who reports on this groundhog in Pennsylvania. And of course, he thinks it's just another day, another year to report on this. And he's grouchy about it and wishes he didn't have to do it because it's like such a silly thing for him to do. So he goes about his day, in a sense, all wrong. And I don't remember how it happens, but he wakes up the next morning and it's Groundhog's Day again. And he goes through the day saying, we just did this yesterday. And so he ends up changing something in his day. And then the next day he wakes up again and it's Groundhog's Day again. And he decides to change something else. And before long, he gets to know the people and exactly what they're going to do. And he learns to do learns to do something entirely different. And all of a sudden, everything changes, he changes, and everything becomes so much better. Well, come with me to 3 or 4 years ago. I went to an event, and there I saw an acquaintance, and I walked up to this acquaintance who was standing next to some gentleman, and I said hello, we introduced ourselves, and the gentleman said that he was there as a life coach because he was presenting a workshop on such and such, and he had a degree in psychology from the University of such and such, and that he's written 3 or 4 books, and yatta-ra-ta-ra-ta-ra. And he said, you should come to my class. And I said, well, interestingly enough, at that time or something, I'll be teaching a workshop because I'm here at this conference as a life coach as well, and I'll be speaking on ta-ra-ta-ra-ta-ra. I don't know if he became jealous or I don't know what happened, but he said to me, well, how could you be a life coach if you don't have a degree in psychology? And you don't even have a, because he had asked me if I did. And I said, no, I don't have a degree in psychology. And he said, and do you have a certification from this particular board? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, how could you be a life coach? It's people like you that ruin our profession. And I said, wow. And this is what I said, something to this effect. Have you ever worked for a major corporation? Like, how about the third largest corporation in the world and started from the ground up? And he said, no. And I said, well, how could you be a life coach to people that work in a corporation if you don't know what it feels like to be working from the ground up? Have you ever sung for over 6,000 people in an audience and have hundreds of fans rush you? And have you ever had fans stalk you and invade your life? Have you ever had been in a long-term relationship? And he said, no, no. I said, well, how could you be a good life coach? And I walked away. And I thought about it. And I later said, wow, I wish I could have done that over. How not elegant of me. And Dorothy's laughing right now, and you probably hear, but I think she was one of the people that I turned to and I said, you know, this just happened. And she said, well, you know, you that's how you did it. You might make a more elegant choice next time. And I thought, yeah, I wish I could have done that over. This past Friday, and I, you can't script this stuff. You can't plan it. I saw an acquaintance at an event, and I went up to the acquaintance. And as I'm going up to the acquaintance, right next to him, there was that guy. There he was. And he didn't recognize me. And I'm like, oh my God, where is this going to go? And so I said hello to my acquaintance. And then he said, do you know? And he introduced this life coach and this psychologist. And I said, we actually met a few years ago, and assuming he was going to remember. And he said, oh, no. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm here to teach a workshop because I'm a life coach. And he said, oh, really? Do you have a degree in psychology? And I said, no, interesting that you should ask. Knowing where he would go with this, I chose a completely different approach. And I said, you know, I took a completely different avenue to life coaching and got all kinds of different certifications that I would love to talk to you about at this at some point. Now's not the time, but I think you'd have some very interesting insight on it. And he lifted his eyes and got all excited and felt seen and acknowledged and heard and like he was valuable in that moment. He ended up coming to my workshop, ended up loving my workshop, and the topic of where I studied and how I studied never came up. And not until this morning when I was telling this friend of mine, and he said, well, sounds like Groundhog's Day. And I'm like, yeah. And it was just like, it was Friday, Groundhog's Day. And that's my story. And I share that today because it just happened, but also because I reframed. I kind of knew what the world was offering me in that moment and where it could go. And I reframed it in a way that not only could I respect myself, but I could respect the other person and also share something that they might not have ever considered. Our guest tonight has done that for one of the most difficult topics that a person can face and a family can face. And I have so much respect for her for reframing this topic for us. So we'll be talking about that when we come back with our guest, Christina Van Jenkins, and our musical guest coming up, Tem Scott, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and in Mark Leisure's absence, we have our executive producer sitting in as co-host, Dorothy Lee Donahue. Welcome, Dorothy.
It's so good to be here, especially with our wonderful guest tonight.
Yes, and you had something you wanted to share specifically on this topic.
It's so important. It seems that the autistic rate, that it's increasing every day more and more. And it's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing to see people dealing with it in the way that our wonderful guest is going to explain to us. And I do have friends who have autistic children. And I asked them to please tune in because I know it's going to be a great conversation.
Well, of course, if they don't catch us tonight, of course, we're going to be sharing the show and they can catch us at at lifechangesshow.com. Well, our guest is a photographer. She's a writer. She's a model. She's a marathon runner, a devoted yogi, a designer of awesome Pacific SUP boards. I don't even know what that is, but we'll ask her. Dane in California, creator of This Is Autism, founder of Ought to Be Fit, and mom to the coolest boy there is who happens to have autism. Welcome, Christina Bant Jenkins, to the show.
Oh, hi. Gosh, I'm so touched by these welcomes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And you resonated with the story and how it relates to you.
First of all, I love that movie. I mean, you have to love Bill Murray. I love that movie just for that whole topic of, you know, if you change the way you approach something, it changes your life.
Mm.
Such a good story. Thank you.
and thank you, because when you came in our conversation, you said, I hope I'm changing. Well, you know you are.
Yeah.
You know you are.
Well, I'm just such a small part of a huge picture, but we all have to try to do our little bit, right? So.
And speaking of pictures, when you go to her website, ChristinaBantJenkins.com, and we'll spell that out a little later.
It's a mouthful.
I'm sorry?
It's a mouthful. I have a long name.
The pictures are... some of them are breathtaking, and they touch our hearts. So before we talk about the subjects of your pictures, let's talk about you as a subject.
Okay.
You started out in the world as a model, in a sense.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was going to school. I went to architecture school, but I was, I went to SC, so I was in LA. I made money modeling, then ended up going to Europe and New York, and I had the quote, perfect model life, as much as that is.
Yeah, actually, I want to talk about that for a second because, and I asked you if it's okay to talk about this before the show. I have some wonderful friends that I love that used to be models, and some still are. And I also know that a lot of them...
Far from perfect.
and are a little bit, self-absorbed.
Absolutely.
And they kind of have to be.
You have to. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's a business and you're your own product.
Yeah.
And if you're aware of that, you do better. You're marketing yourself and it's a tough business. It's not just showing up and look pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You walk around with yourself all the time.
Yeah.
You're feeding yourself.
Yeah. You have to take care of that product and give the best image. And I don't want to date myself, but gosh, I back then there wasn't social media like there is now. I can't imagine.
It only started a decade or so.
Oh, last year, right? I can't imagine now because now literally you have to be on 24/7.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And so you're living life in a sense for you and you're thinking life's going to be like what?
Oh,
you're in Hollywood. You're in LA.
Yeah,
you're,
I think we all have our images, model or not, or probably LA's a little bit more of that. You have an idea of what you think your perfect life is going to be. You want your hair a certain way. You want to live on a certain street and have the husband or the wife and the 2.1 kids and the dog and the cat and the car in the driveway. You have all these images of what your life will be or should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then life happens. Literally.
Now what you've done with life happening is not what people normally do. So when did the photography, you being a photographer, actually start?
I did get tired of the modeling and living for myself and worrying about my hair and makeup at some point. And I wanted to come back and be home. You're also living out of your suitcase and at one point I remember not knowing what country I was in and I had to look at my airline ticket to figure out where I was.
Wow.
And I missed my family. I'm a family person. I'm from here and I just wanted to come home. So I came home and I went to work and I was in advertising. I used what I learned from modeling and I'm not really an extrovert. I'm talking about myself a lot right now again.
No,
but I'm
fine,
actually not an extrovert. And I really liked being behind the scenes on photo shoots. So I took what I learned and I went into advertising and worked in that for a while. And then I had my son. I went on maternity leave. This was 12 and a half years ago. And I was on maternity leave saying, I'll be back in 6 weeks, thinking, I love being a career woman, and 6 weeks turned into 6 months, and I couldn't leave this precious baby boy, and then the economy tanked.
And at that point, you're your child had not been diagnosed.
We didn't know yet.
So you were already into becoming a different person already.
I'm already trying to fill those picture perfect images I had in my mind of what life should be. And I had this beautiful baby.
And speaking of we'll come back and talk what happened from there, but I just have to throw this in. So she was in advertising, but she was taking pictures of other people now and her pictures were featured in US Magazine, People Magazine, Good Morning America, Huffington Post, Daily Mail. I could go on. And you took pictures of few people you might know, like Smokey Robinson, Trisha Yearwood, I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips, et cetera, et cetera.
I've met some cool people.
And you're on your way. And then you really started to meet some other cool people. So when we talk about that, including your son. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about that. And a little later on, live music here in the studio, as per usual, with our musical guest, Tim Scott, all on the Life Changes show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy and, of course, our guest, Christina Bant Jenkins. And if you are wondering how to spell that, Christina's with a K, Christina Bant, B-A-N-T, Jenkins, JENKINS.com is her website, or one of them that we'll talk about today, and where you could certainly not only see these pictures I was talking about, and we're going to talk about more in a moment, but also you could learn more about her and experience the world through her eyes, not just in the pictures, but through her blogging. So, Christina, you've met some very cool people, and then in your own words, the coolest boy there is.
Yes, he is your son. Coolest. He is sweet. I am a mom and I'm biased, but he does touch people. It's amazing the reaction he gets. He's really charming and really sweet, and he's a flirt.
Yeah.
So,
wait, how old is he?
He's 12 and a half.
Wow.
And he's, you know, functionally nonverbal, as we say in autism, but he can work wonders with those eyes.
Hmm.
He'll charm Dorothy in a minute.
Yeah, well, and so when did life change drastically for you?
He was, I thought, a super easy baby. He was perfect in my eyes, you know, as all moms of new babies think they are. And all my friends had girls. All my girlfriends had baby girls at the same time. And they were exploring and knocking things over and being toddlers and gabbing away. And Charlie was different. Mm. And everybody said, oh, don't worry, boys are different. Oh, okay.
They develop later.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Boys are slow. Mm. It became a joke. Oh, boys are slow. He was never adventurous. He never really crawled. He sort of scooted, and he didn't do the usual exploring. I mean, there were all these red flags looking back, but I just thought, I don't have to baby proof. This is great. I can do the dishes. I can do the laundry. Mm. But all these things are red flags after you realize, and he didn't talk. But he had great eye contact, and we went to the doctor way back and, you know, said he's not doing this or this or crawling or exploring and climbing up furniture. And oh, don't worry.
Even the doctor said
this. Even the doctor, she's like, he has great eye contact, definitely not autism, but you can take him to speech therapy if you want. So, I mean, this is over then about the next 9 months. We went to a speech therapist and then another speech therapist and finally one that was amazing. She said very gingerly, she just had such a great rapport. You know, maybe you should try occupational therapy. Maybe you should try physical therapy. And then, you know, slowly you put all the pieces together and a bigger picture formed. Mm. And then it became a diagnosis at 2 years old. But it probably started between 12 and 18 months. We started to explore.
Mm.
So at that point, we just knocked on every door. You have to be persistent. You have to go after good therapists. You know, choose what's right for you, what's not right for you, what feels right in your gut. You know, not every idea out there is for everybody, but then there are some amazing clinicians and therapists, and they've been godsends for us. So
you've had to do the research though.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
There's no how-to book. You don't really get a how-to right. book when you get some of these diagnoses.
Right. And that's one of the reasons you're on the show today, because for most people with that kind of diagnosis and that kind of a personal change of life,
yeah.
they could go into all kinds of things, depression, and it's all
absolutely.
Understandable. But you won an award just recently, and in which they said you exemplified achievement through adversity. And so we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about the award real quick.
Oh, yeah. That was almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. An excellent foundation, the Single Moms Planet, gave me an award for women with vision. So I was really honored. It's exciting. And that was for my work with This Is Autism. And they were actually so inspiring to me and another company that I worked for, the Boot Campaign. I just got such a great impression of these people doing wonderful work with nonprofits. So that sort of sparked my interest in the nonprofit world.
Mm, wonderful. So so a shout out to them.
Absolutely. Huge shout out.
And so obviously there are things that have to be done, things that have to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And we've explored that a little bit on the show and you know all of this stuff well, but then you did something amazingly different.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest obstacles when you have a child with special needs or whatever adversity it is you're handed, you have to let go of these images that you have in your mind.
Oh, recalibrate that.
Exactly.
Yes.
You have all these ideas of what is, what should be, what will be, what you think you are. And then you're handed this new life, this new set of the way things are. And that I found was the biggest challenge. And you have an opportunity, I think, to think, why us, why me, why my child? You do. You have to think, why does my child have to struggle? And I don't ever want to discount that. I don't want him to struggle.
It's part of the process.
Yeah. But, you know, there were 10 years ago, in 10 years, so much has changed about how we look at children with special needs, how we look at autism. It's growing so fast. But there was an idea of what autism was. And I didn't like that he was given a label. And then everybody attributed those characteristics of that label to him. I didn't want him to be boxed in or limited.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see him for who he was.
Mm.
And then I started just taking pictures. I'm in that world, you know, all his little playmates, my mommy groups are autism. Started taking these pictures of these children. And moms and dads would look at these pictures and say, that's the smile. That's the sparkle in his eye. That's him chasing his brother around the yard. That's his loving his grandparents and his dog. This is autism.
Hmm.
Let's not think diets and treatments and therapies. It's his love for his siblings and his joy of the backyard and his parents and, you know, whatever makes these children who they are. They're just children first.
Hmm.
This is autism.
And so you like to say about your son,
yeah,
all of these other things.
He's sweet, he's goofy, he's charming, he will flirt, and he has autism after all that.
Mm.
He's just a boy too.
That's so beautiful. And your smile.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lighting up. I wish people could see this.
Well, he's a joy. Yeah.
And what a beautiful thing to say, of course. And not only is he a joy to you, he's become, and you've become different because of the way you look at this.
Yeah. I think my dad was such a great mentor for me. You have to make lemonade, some sort of lemonade out of your lemons. Mm. Everybody's given their hand of cards. It's how you play it.
So when you look back at the modeling days.
I know how to do my makeup really nice if I have time.
And if you don't have time, you just look
good. It's a ponytail on the side of my head half the time.
And you're good.
Yeah.
Because you got to be.
Yeah.
And you said something before the show. You said, you know, I'd like to think I was a good person. And I'm sure you were.
Yeah. You know, I like to think I had good intentions and had good ambitions and woke up wanting to make the world a better place. Maybe after I had my hair and makeup done.
Nice. I get it.
And this, you know, this has shown me who I am. My son, you know, when you have a child, you think, oh, I'm going to teach him this. I'm going to show him this about the world. That's not what's happened for me. And I don't think it is for a lot of people. He's taught me so much, mostly who I am, what this world is capable of, and what we can show the world, what he can show the world.
Probably one of the first things is showing you what you're made of to be able to get through that.
Yeah. A lot of it is survival technique, you know, mm-hmm. Wake up every day, put one foot in front of the other, mm-hmm. and be a little positive as you're trying to do that. And it's amazing with some positivity, it comes back 100 times.
Talking about putting one foot in front of the other, you do that a lot, actually. Not just in life, but also on the track field.
A lot of it lately. Gosh, the LA Marathon is in 6 weeks. Yeah, I run a lot. It started as therapy, actually. Mm. I was always into sports, but I did not necessarily like running. And it was actually when Charlie was a baby, and I just needed some relief. Hmm. And I could get outside. If I had 15 minutes, I could get out that door and run and put on headphones and nobody could call me with some bad news from a doctor's office or something. Hmm. So, and then I actually ended up liking it. And now running is my sort of therapy. It's my me time. I still get that little bit of me time. Hmm. And I love it. And I end up doing a lot of races. It's, you know, all I need is some text from somebody. Hey, there's a race this week. Okay, where do I sign up?
And who's usually there at the finish line?
Charlie. He's, you know, they hand out snacks at the finish line.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, power bars. He really likes some of these various bars.
And of course, Charlie's her son.
Charlie is my son. Yeah, yeah. He's cheering mom on. He's my biggest fan. I miss.
That's really special.
Yeah, I wish he would run. He hates running.
Okay.
He likes basketball. Basketball is his thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That boy can dribble for hours.
Well, he's only, what, 12 and a half?
12 and a half.
He might like running.
I know.
Later.
I know. I'm waiting for the basketball contract to come in. Lakers, are you out there listening?
Wow. Interesting. I like the way you think. And speaking of the way you think, so because of with the photography, this is autism
this
started.
Is autism.
Tell us more.
Yeah. So I just thought, all these little faces of joy and happiness. And there was a lot of talk through all these years of whatever controversial new diet or treatment or whatever you want to try or believe in, and power to you for all of that. But my focus is on our kids. And I wanted to say, this is autism. Mm-hmm. You know, my child likes Scooby-Doo. My child likes basketball. This is autism. Let's put the focus back on the kids. So I started an awareness campaign, and still a book project. I feel it's the never-ending book project because I can always photograph 10 more kids. So I'm still working
on
that.
There could always be book two.
Yeah, yeah. So please call and join my photography with that. Get your kids in there.
What a beautiful thing. And then life through the other lens.
Yeah, that's just kind of where I talk about that. I talk about all our daily fun and shenanigans we look at life through a different lens. So life, it just became life through the other lens.
And there's something else I want to talk about when we come back. But in the meantime, and that's Ought to Be Fit.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that organization when we come back. All with Christina Bant Jenkins. And again, ChristinaBantJenkins.com. Go look at those pictures.
Please.
And your heart just opens up. Just some beautiful, beautiful pictures. Beautiful, beautiful children. And she just truly captures the heart. And like she said, the glistening eyes and the playful spirit. And changed my morning, actually, when I saw that, and the rest of my day. So thank you to Christina for that. And we'll have more of Christina when we come back, and we'll have our musical guest, Tem Scott. And of course, upcoming will be our Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy and our guest, Christina Bant Jenkins. And I really like something that she says. I want people to know our children for who they are as individuals first. People, children with souls and hearts, not for their biggest struggle. I can't imagine if somebody would mention my biggest struggle. Hi, this is my friend Filippo. He is, I don't know, emotionally immature or something. Excuse me. I have other qualities.
That was a big one.
I'm not diagnosing myself with that. I just couldn't think of anything on the spur of the moment.
No, like, seriously. Yeah.
Seriously.
Thank you for reading that. Yeah.
Seriously. Well, speaking of reading, you during the commercial break, when you heard about my book, you said, oh, I want to read that. I read a book a week. I'm like, well, how do you have
actually
time?
I have like three going at a time. I don't know. You made me sound so busy. I guess that's why I'm always tired.
You are. That maybe I'm reminding you just how busy you are.
Gosh, I have a lot to do.
You better go now.
I have to go.
Do you read while you're running?
I should. There's an idea. Actually, I do have audiobooks. So,
oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh.
I read while I drive.
So actually, we were going to talk about Ought to Be Fit.
Yeah.
But then I noticed you have something over there that I think I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah.
And wear proudly.
I brought you guys all swag, t-shirts and little bracelets. And they have our awesome Ought to Be Fit puzzle guys on it. The puzzle piece is sort of the universal symbol of autism for so many reasons. And you'll see it with every organization. And I wanted to give it a new life, a new character. So we have all these athletes, puzzle piece athletes, and one is running a race and running first place, running through the ribbon, and we have a cyclist, a weightlifter, and the whole
and somebody on a board
stand up paddle boarding, which is what you just mentioned and you didn't
didn't know what that was. So tell us
stand up paddle boarding. It's like the craze right now, you know, all those cool people out on the water.
Yeah, no, I know what that is.
Yeah.
But what is your part in it? Because Pacific,
it's very new. I've joined with one of my oldest friends, and we've started a line of paddleboards. So To be continued.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk about
that. I was prematurely mentioning something. No wonder you're
process.
Even more busy than you even know.
I know.
Okay, so let me see this.
Okay.
So this is, the t-shirt says, ought to be fit.
Yes.
And so ought is A-U-T for autism.
Yes, exactly.
So A-U-T, the number two. The letter B and then FIT, which is very clever. So
yeah.
That's also an organization, AUT to the letter B and then FIT. So ought to be fit.org.
Yes.
Is tell us about that.
Well, about a year ago, I was registering for my half marathons and marathons, and in the background we have therapists at the house and they're talking to me about Charlie's progress, and we had been on vacation and he had been doing all these great things, playing basketball with the cousins, and there was no therapy, and he's jumping on and off the metro and in running through airports, and now we're back in the therapy situation. I just thought,
and it felt clinical, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're I love the therapies. We have to have them, and I don't know where we'd be without them. Mm. I am not dismissing them at all, but there is something to be said for these simulated situations in therapy rooms as compared to an organic, natural experience. Mm. And I'm afraid that my child alone was, you know, school 8 to 2, 8 to 3, then he's in therapy till 6 p.m. We have stuff on the weekends. It's a full-time job for a small child. Mm. And my best friends are still my high school teammates from sports, and so I'm having these two fragmented parts of my life, and it was just all of a sudden like a light bulb went off. I need to combine these two parts of my life, and I'm registering for the marathon, and you can pull down a drop box and choose from charities, and none spoke to me. There were organizations to help train typical teenagers to run, or organizations to give to cancer, and all these wonderful organizations, but none spoke to what I wanted. I wanted to see my son and his peers running out there or trying a sport, making the same friendships I had on the team and on the field, instead of trying to have a social skills therapy room for an hour with a simulated environment, or a physical therapy room with a simulated environment. Let's get them out on the field, try a new sport, or have fun just getting out there, making friends, and try
organically.
An organic situation, and try new activities, because everybody ought to be fit.
Everybody ought to be fit. I get it now. Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Everybody ought to be fit. Okay, yeah. So it's A-U-T and then the number two, the letter B, F-I-T. So oughttobefit.org.
Yes, so we're trying different sports. You can go online. We have a sign up for if you want your kids to sign up, and we don't exclude anybody. We're about autism, but we have all abilities and disabilities. We have siblings. We love cousins. We love grandparents out there. We need cheerleaders. We need volunteers.
Oh.
We had an amazing baseball camp in October. Our next one is going to be yoga, because I love yoga.
Oh, that's right.
Who wouldn't love yoga? So we're going to get some kids out there, and it's going to be a new experience. We're going to try a little bit of everything and make some friends and have some fun just trying, because everybody ought to be fit. Can I say that one more
time? Yes, please do, actually.
.org. And on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's across social media, just ought to be fit.
So people can help just by liking the pages.
Exactly.
And then following, and then sharing them with their friends.
Share,
that's a start.
Click like and then, on social media.
Yeah, and then as they have money to give to organizations, but getting involved in cheerleading or coaching and what have you.
Yeah, we need people to pass out water at our events, and they're always fun. They always end with a sort of after party with, we had Mendocino Farms cater our last ones. They're amazing.
Oh.
Thank you to them. So we've had some great people.
Speaking
help us
of,
out.
We need more of yous.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
so
for
much.
Coming in your, in case you didn't know, very busy schedule.
I know.
Actually, we knew that because we've tried to have you on the show like two or
thank
three
you.
Times before.
Thank you so much for being persistent. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here with such great company. Thank you
so much. So oughttobefit.org, Christina Bant Jenkins.com. And then there was one more. This is Autism.
This is Autism. You can find This is Autism through ChristinaBantJenkins.com.
And also the blog, which is Life Through the Other Lens.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And look forward to more. And the book, that you're working on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Call me about that.
Thank you. Well, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment in just a moment. But before we do, we have a shout out, and that's to Lee McCluskey and Carla McCluskey. They have the Olander Foundation for Everything, for Energy. No, I'll do that again. Normally Mark does. Mark, where are you? I need you. Or Olander Foundation for Emerging Renaissance. That's what it is. It's OFFER, Olander Foundation for Emerging Renaissance. They host Sundays at Olander, a class focused on adventures in consciousness, creativity, and archetypal wisdom. For more information, go to olander.com. That's O-L-N. No, it's not. It's www.olander.com. Olander.com. Dorothy, our Ask Dorothy comes from James from Seal Beach. He asks, Dorothy, I am getting a divorce after 15 years of a very unhappy marriage. My 14-year-old daughter is not happy with my decision, and whenever I visit her, she is miserable and blames me for leaving her mother. She makes me feel really guilty, although the divorce is not really my choice. How can I heal my relationship with my daughter?
My question for you, James, is how does guilt serve you and or your daughter? Guilt is always a choice, and we're a choice every moment of every day. No one can make you feel guilty without your acceptance of their judgment. It appears to me there are a lot of unanswered questions here, and your daughter may simply not understand what is going on. If you haven't processed why you chose to stay in a very unhappy marriage for 15 years, this may be the time for you to examine this aspect of your life. Once you discover your truths, you may wish to share them with your child while taking total responsibility for all of your choices. When we become balanced in our true choices, we can then make better decisions. And please remember that often when one acts in their own best interests, others may feel disappointment because they simply don't know what's going on. So let's consider getting someone to work with all three of you to help you move through this traumatic time. Your daughter is at a very tender age, and it would be good for her to have someone to discuss this divorce with who is not involved. The most important thing here is to maintain a good co-parenting situation for her. So finding a good life coach could be the answer you are seeking and maybe what would be best for the highest and best good for all concerned.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for the Ask Dorothy segment, simply write askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. We'll be right back with our musical guest, Tem Scott, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy and, of course, our guest, Christina Van Jenkins. And joining us in the studio is a singer, songwriter who heralds from Baltimore, Maryland, and comes to us thanks to our now mutual friend, Elizabeth Wolfe. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
She is Tem Scott. Tem, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm always great.
I'm glad to hear that. Good for you. And you know, I was reading your bio, and the first thing I liked about it was you say you're hailing from Baltimore. I love that.
Hailing.
Sometimes I say to people, and where do you herald from? And they're like, herald, like the angels go, you know, like, but that's a word.
This was an old roommate of mine who was an English major, and I was like, can you please help me put my bio in third person?
Oh, and this is what.
That was Libby.
That's what she wrote. Okay. Well, let's give a shout out to her then.
So I said, thank you, Libby. Hailing from Beemore.
It caught my attention. And another thing that caught my attention is you said in your childhood bedroom is where you developed your passion for songwriting.
Yeah.
Like you say, many do, but not all of them. But not
maybe
all.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but
I feel
did.
Like that's kind of a classic escape thing in childhood.
So
people who become musicians are interested in music.
So you'd escape to your room and what kind of stuff would you listen to there?
Oh my God, Taylor Swift. This is when I started writing songs when I was like 10, and it was all like country and kind of singer songwriter girl stuff going on for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't hide it.
You know, you were kidding about the Taylor Swift.
I wasn't kidding.
Oh, you weren't kidding?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't kidding.
Okay.
It was for real.
I think there's an interesting twist. If people want to be inspired and actually spend a night in that very bedroom where you learned your passion, that room has been turned into Airbnb.
Yeah, they got to pay now to be there. They got a pay.
The high dollar now.
I moved to San Luis Obispo to start college, and my mom turned my bedroom into an Airbnb.
So in Townsend, Maryland, suburb of Baltimore, there's a charming bedroom.
Yeah, charming single bedroom. It says "Love You More" on the wall, which is like my actual nightmare of a sign, but it's super cute.
But it's a nightmare of a sign. But did you put it in there?
No, my mom rearranged everything.
Oh, after you left?
Yeah, she made it like nice. It didn't used to look like that.
Because it wasn't nice while you were there.
Full stuff.
That wasn't. You needed an environment that inspired you, and that so you made.
Yes. So I made it messy.
Working
to inspire me.
Well, you know, I've heard your music, and it is truly inspired.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to
you sharing something with us, and let's share something with the audience, and that is that your first album just came out, an EP, and it's called Firsts.
It's called Firsts. Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, Grant, who's sitting right here, he plays keys, and he produced the album.
Yes,
Grant Milliken, here he is.
Is going to accompany you?
Yeah. And we produced this album together over probably about the past 4 months in his little home studio in Culver City. So.
And I remember when I first spoke to you, you said, my first album's coming out actually, it just came out 3 hours ago.
Yeah. I was confused that day.
And I'm like, oh, how cool. And so I right away went to go check it out. And like, oh yeah, good stuff. So speaking of, what are we going to get to hear first?
So this song, we're going to do an acoustic version of a song called Elevator that's on the EP.
The song is called Elevator?
It's called Elevator.
Oh, okay. I don't even want to know any more about it. I think I want to see what your song inspires in me. Here is Tem Scott performing from her first EP called Firsts. The song Elevator, live on the Life Changes show here in Studio NoHo.
Speaker in my throat, I swallow amplify the words that follow me. It's always like this elevator talk, always on a silent level, biting down like ice on metal. I will maybe take the stairs so I could walk all the way to floor 11. May as well just head for heaven, 'cause I don't believe in a place where I am not. Talk my way through quiet, but I don't mean to make you silent. I don't even know what's through these doors. I don't want to speak for nothing. I just want to scream I'm coming back. But every time it opens again, I could swear it's not my floor. Feeling a pit in my stomach, I drop. Don't move my feet, but I'm still going up. How am I gonna move them later? It's like I'm in an elevator, and I don't need grounding to prove anything. Moving through floors and they all look the same. When's the last time a stranger was more dangerous than me? I was feeling fine that day, but I lit up, the numbers go all the way up. Said, don't be so shy, you're in here, and strangers can taste all your fear. I don't wanna lose a minute. I give away my time like a winnet. I'm spinning a wheel for a second, but I treat my time like the weapon. Feeling a pit in my stomach, I drop. Don't move my feet, but I'm still going up. How am I gonna move them later? It's like I'm in an elevator, and I don't need grounding to prove anything. Moving through floors and they all look the same. When's the last time a stranger was more dangerous than me? I'm in an elevator, and I don't need grounding to prove anything. Moving through floors and they all look the same. I feel in a pit in my stomach, I drop. Don't move my feet, but I'm still going high. And I don't need grounding to prove. When's the last time a stranger was more dangerous than me?
Wow. Wow, Thames Scott. Wow. No, seriously, thank you. The album is called Firsts.
Yeah.
And you want to be one of the first to get it. And you could learn more about Tem at Facebook and Instagram. Start following her. Be one of the millions to be for sure. Tem is T-E-M-M-E and then Scott, S-C-O-T-T. And she's on Facebook as Tem Scott. And she's on Instagram as Tem Scott. And the album's on Apple Music and Spotify and da-da-da. And you could find it. SoundCloud, it's called Firsts. Gosh, you're such a poet. These are your lyrics?
Oh, yeah.
When's the last time a stranger was more dangerous than me? Ouch. Strangers can taste all your fears. Was it? I get that right?
Strangers can taste all your fears.
That's...
That song
so
I started writing in a legitimate elevator. So it became
nice.
Right, so it's like the physical feeling of what it feels like to be crammed in an elevator around a bunch of other people that you don't know.
Yeah.
And kind of that strange, awkward feeling, just knowing that you're just going to have to be in there.
And all floors look the same as they open up.
And then, you know, and then turned it into a metaphor. Which
sure.
That's, I guess, how you write a song. And just made it about, you know, feeling out of place, confused, whatever.
What's the line? How do I change from later, or how do I move from later?
How am I going to move them later? My feet.
Oh, man. This is so good.
Because it's moving you. You don't have to do anything, but all of a sudden, you know, you're on the 10th floor and you didn't have to do anything. You just have to stand.
You're so good. And then at one point you looked at me during the song and I'm like, yeah, you're good. I'm loving it. Speaking of firsts, since your CD kind of just came out, are we the first radio show to have you live?
First.
Get out.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We are so honored. This is exciting.
This is my first live show since it came out, actually, at all. I haven't even played live since 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
When it came. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are. This is so special. So thank you, Tem Scott. And again, T-E-M-M-E Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Mm-hmm. And of course, Grant Milliken, who produced and is in the studio with us playing. And actually, did you both meet at UCLA? Because you just graduated, right?
Yeah, I graduated in September. Grant graduated the year before me.
But
we met through Springsing at UCLA. That's
nice.
How we originally met, and then we didn't become friends till we started playing music together, you know, this past summer, and then decided to just really dive in together.
Well, I'd love to dive in together for another song.
Perfect.
What do we get to hear?
This is the last song on the EP. This song is called The Edge.
The last song is On the Edge. Oh, and she's going to leave us on the edge. Well, here is Tem Scott performing with Grant Milliken live here on the Life Changes Show. The song is The Edge from her first EP called Firsts. Tem Scott live here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
The edge is a place I can finally stand. I used to be scared of my own shaking hands, but now when it's dark I will trust my own feet. Cause I'm never tripping, just skipping a beat. The edge is a place where I learned how you thought. Cause my hand started slipping and you screamed a lot. But now in the storms on this rocky terrain, not falling, I'm making love to the rain. And I wanna hate you, but sometimes it's hard. I wish I could speak without dropping my guard, but my parents will hate you instead. You'd do the same if you saw your own daughter half dead. It's a good price to pay. I'd take 2 years of hell over lying my whole life away. Get me in trouble, I wanna be blamed. It can't be a fault unless they say my name. If you meant the best, then the best is no good. We're still saying we did the best that we could. And I wanna breathe from the pit of my chest, but when they say your name, it gets shallow. I guess I will swear not to see you again. Cause I take the pain over living a life I pretend. And I wanna feel like it all meant the world. Why can't I say it without feeling sure? It's been years of the grieving. I'm still believing my leaving had meaning. But I miss the evenings we wasted the whole night away. But it didn't feel like a waste all those days. I'm just trying to mean what I said. Cause I jumped before spending life keeping you from the edge. Edge is a place I reclaimed my own blood. It wasn't great dragging hearts through the mud. But since I'm still here, it is my turn to give. Thanks to the edge, I have learned how to live.
You mean that's it? Oh, gosh, she left me on the edge. But she learned how to live. Tem Scott, T-E-M-M-E Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Find her on Facebook, follow her there, Instagram, follow her there. And that's where people can also find out where your live performances are.
For sure, for sure.
Awesome. You know, I don't discount the moments at all that get you to be able to write songs like this. And I would love to talk to you sometime about that. Sure. But in the meantime, more power to you.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. I'm proud of you. This is amazing. Tem Scott, and then of course produced by Grant Milliken. And thank you both for being here. The
thank
album
you
is
so
called
much.
Firsts.
First.
And you want to get out and get it. And I kind of just feel like your mom just raised the price on your room. So good on her.
She might.
such a pleasure. And then the album again is available at Apple Music and Spotify and everywhere where music is sold. Tem, T-E-M-M-E, Scott. You never heard that name before, and you've never heard anybody like Tem.
Thank you so much.
Follow her and go out and get her album and enjoy and grow. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, speaking of growing, Christina Bant Jenkins, impressed, proud of you.
Thank you
for what you're doing.
Oh, there's such a treat to hear, Tem. I'm so psyched to be here.
Right.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you two.
I'm going to get the album.
Connect afterwards. For sure. And with that, what a special show this has been. And I want to give a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great. And a thank you out goes to BBS Radio Network, our program manager, Doug Newsom there. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to The Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.